Okay, we're on the topic of, I started recording now, we've got to stop the jokes. We are on the topic of Birchat Shabbat. We started last class talking about the Likrat Shabbat, Ki Mekora Bracha, the source of Bracha. We defined three definitions based upon Chazal, what the word Bracha literally means besides blessing. And one of them was, look in your notes, one of them was, ooh, wow, Berecha, the source, we said, knees, Birkayim, that is what propel us forward, and Berecha is also,
source.
We did source,
plentiful,
says Rashi, that's right, that's what Berecha is. We looked at the Zohar, and the Zohar we saw inside even told us that all the days of the week find their source of blessing on Shabbat. We're going to see more about that today. Then we started talking about the man. And the man came as a double portion on Yom Shishi. Okay? And a Lechem Mishnah, we said. Right? As a Lechem Mishnah. And we reproduced the man on our Shabbat tables by having a double portion of bread and making Hamotzi on two whole rolls or chalot or whatever people have. Jachnuns, I don't know. On their, delicious jachnun. Your jachnun nida? Yeah? Any Yemenites here? All the Yemenites. Okay. So we have a double portion, right? Says Rashi, let's look inside, page 33 in Rashi Mevi Mechazal. And he explains, what is the pasuk, Vayavarach Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i, Hashem blessed the seventh day. What is that blessing of the seventh day? He says, Baruchu b'man. He blessed it with a man. That is the blessing of the seventh day. Says Rashi, look inside, please. If you're on your computers, it should be a blank page. Shekol yomot ha-shivua, every day of the week, yared lehem omer le-gulgolet, one portion, right, an omer is an amount, fell per head, uvashishi lechem mishnah, a double portion fell. Va-mikra kasov al-shematid. Now that's unusual. What do those words mean? Va-mikra kasov al-shematid. The Torah is speaking about the future. What does that mean, talking about the future? Why is that?
Next day.
Not the next Mashiach day. Comes. Mashiach. Oh, you're so messianic, Tiff. No, we're not going as far as Mashiach. When did the man fall?
God,
no, yeah, but no, okay, it fell every day and fell double. But when actually, what historical time period did the man fall? What historical time period? When we were in the desert. Right? For 40 years after we left Mitzrayim is when it fell. When are these words spoken? When is this pasuk? Vayavarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i.
Before they left.
No. Before they left?
Mitzrayim.
How far before they left Mitzrayim?
Before the
creation!
What?
It says Hashem blessed the seventh day, and that was mentioned at the time of creation, of Maaseh Bereishis. Right? We said it. In Bereishis, it says that Hashem blessed the seventh day. So we have an unusual situation. The Torah is telling us, you know what Hashem did? He blessed the seventh day. Says Rashi, now he blessed it with a man. Any questions on that? Hello? Anyone there yet? Calling Earth? Rabbi Hadjof calling Earth?
Yeah.
Exactly. Says Marjorie, was any man at the time of creation?
Why would he send one when there was...
Exactly, it doesn't mean it wasn't needed. Well, there was no humans. I mean, it wasn't needed. Okay, fine. The humans are ready, but they wouldn't. They had food. In Gan Eden, there was full of food. They didn't need man.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the question?
Why was there man so early?
Why? No, there was no man. There was no man at creation. Man came at one time period only. 40 years after leaving Egypt. Let's think a little bit. I know it's a rare thing to do, but 40 years after leaving Egypt... Rashi's saying, you know what the Pasuk in Bereishis is saying to us? Says Rashi, what's the look at Rashi? Don't look at me. What is the bracha of the blessing of that time? And it was the man. But there was no man. For the future. That's the end of Rashi. Va-mikra, the Pasuk, mikra means the Pasuk, right? Kosuv is writing, al shema atid, about something's going to happen in the future.
Why would
it
be a creation?
Exactly. Why there? That's very confusing. Does everyone hear the question on Rashi? We have what's called a kasha on Rashi. Right, we understand, what does Rashi mean? Why is Rashi telling us that the seventh day was blessed? What blessing is being referred to in Maaseh Bereishis? Let's learn a Rashi together. That blessing? Oh, that's the blessing of the man. There was no man. There was no man for another 2,448 years. That's the question. And that's not my question. That's a question that is mentioned over here. And this is only in the Hebrew. It wasn't translated, so you have to follow inside. Uh-oh. Let's look at it together. We'll go slowly. Rekash al-kach Rav Yitzhak Milson. Sarach Bior. We need to understand. Lama katov vayivarech. Right? Why does it say in the blessing of vayivarech, and he blessed in the past, b'loshen avar? Achrei shalai ya'od. Azaz haman. There was no man yet. If Rashi's saying, what's Rashi? Rashi will give his opinion. He's saying, this is what's encoded in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk is encoded this future man. Okay, that's what the Pasuk is telling us. That's the bracha. It's very unusual to understand. So that's his question, as well as ours. We just look at the Rashi, we figure that out ourselves. And he gives Mitaretz, second paragraph, you're following inside, look inside. We'll go slowly. Ach biura inyan. He gives explanation. By the way, I don't fully understand his explanation, but let's look at it anyway, because maybe one of you will. Ki ma'az bet b'rit ha'olam. I'll tell you why. Because from the time of creation, tziva Hashem, Hashem commanded, et ha'bracha, the bracha, al yedei yom ha'shabbat. The ayin yud is al yedei, through the hand of, but it means through, yom ha'shabbat, the Shabbat day. Okay? So from the beginning of creation, it was decreed that Shabbat would be the source of all blessing. Asher, what does that mean? Al Yado, through it, through what? Through Shabbat, thank you, Marjorie. Tamshich HaBracha, we will have a continuation of the Bracha, which starts at creation. V'Hashefa, and the abundance, Al Kolim HaShivon, the entire week. It isn't just saying Shabbat is blessed, it's saying that Shabbat is the source of blessing that lasts the entire week. Okay, that was decided from the time of creation. That didn't start at Har Sinai. That's the way the world was set up from creation, i.e. Bereshit. You following? Let's keep going. Umizeh namshich. Now this is going to continue. Gam kein shiyaret haman b'yom hashishi. We see that later on, there's an example of this with the falling of the man on the sixth day. Lechem Mishnah. Aval, here's the bold print, here's his punchline. Let's see if we can figure it out. I'm always intrigued by this piece. Aval pe'emet, truthfully speaking, ken hu b'chole itim. It's true of all times, of chol hadorot, and all generations. Ukmo shamar. This is an opinion from the Gemara. Bezem aliyom haShabbat. I'm talking about over here. Hinei ledor rishon natan kadoshi mofet beteto lechem b'shishi kacha b'chol shishi. Right, the Pietan says, we read in the Zemer, Hinei Lador Rishon, it was the first generation, Natan Kedoshi, they got this holiness. Beteto Lechem B'mishne B'shishi. This first generation that left Mitzrayim, they got this blessing of the man. Kacha, so too, B'chol Shishi, every Friday, Yachbil Mazoni, the Mazon, the Parnassah, the blessing comes down. What is he saying over here? Somebody please tell me how he is answering up this Rashi.
That was a blessing from Shabbat, the man falling on the sixth day was the blessing of the week. Right?
So what
like
is...
through Shabbat we get brachot.
Yes,
week.
Yes.
So the sixth day was that.
Okay, so on the sixth day, the man fell in a double portion, but it fell every single day.
That was a blessing, though.
But we're saying, you're right, but the blessing, he's saying, wasn't just from creation, or wasn't just started once they left Mitzrayim. I always understood this piece to say that the blessing is always there. Every generation, there is a blessing that comes from Shabbat. It goes back to creation, because Hashem, an example of it, a very good example of it, is the man that fell for the Jewish people in the Midbar, that fell as a double portion, especially, right, on Friday. I think it's similar to this. We know that the reason we eat matzah is because the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Okay? Why do we eat matzah? Because the Jews left Mitzrayim because of Pesach. Right? But when was the first Pesach? It goes way before. We know Avram Avinu kept Pesach. So Rashi tells us. Lot ate matzah on Pesach. So the freedom power of Pesach as Zman Cheroteinu has always existed. A very clear example of it is the Jewish year 2448 when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. And then we saw Pesach, freedom, in action. But the reason they left Mitzrayim was because it was Pesach. Not that we celebrate Pesach because we left Mitzrayim. So over here, we're kind of maybe setting up the same thing. There is something called Bracha on Shabbat. I'll give you an example of this. Where can we see this? I'll show you where. The Jewish people in the Midbar. The man fell for them for 40 years. They got a double portion, Erev Shabbat. We know that Shabbat is the source of it, back from creation. That's the power of the Bracha of Shabbat, that it brings us the man. In what schut do we have the man? All panasa comes from Shabbat. How do we know that? Because right back to creation. Yeah? You like that? No? No? Okay. All right. I'll take a 5 out of 10. Yes?
So, are you saying that the way that their blessing in the Bible, the way that it manifested was through the mind?
Yes.
But for us, it's different because we get...
He's saying it's not different. Right, we don't get the man, but the blessing is continually there. So we reproduce the man every Shabbat and put it on our Shabbat table. That's why that's the punchline of it. I guess I finished that out. Why are we reliving the man? There's plenty of miracles that happen to us. Why are we reliving that? Because that's the time of it. It's a Shabbat thing. So we relive the man and we take a challah cover, put it on top, and we take a board and put it underneath. Right, just like it was kept in a kufsan, a little box for us. We relive it because that's where it comes from. It's the power of Shabbat that brought it down. So too, kacha b'chol shishi, every Friday has that double power, blessing of man. So we take it, we produce it, putting a lecha mishnah on our table. The man is the clearest example. Just like the matzah is the clearest example of freedom. It represents freedom for us. Right? Matzah is freedom food. Why? You have to understand what matzah is, but that's what it is. So too, the man represents as well. What is the man food from Hashem? Where does panasa come from? Where does wealth and success come from?
Wow.
From Hashem.
Wow.
Through Shabbat.
Yeah.
From Hashem ultimately. That's where panasa comes from. So too the man came from Hashem as well. The man was a training station in parnasa. In how we make a living.
Double portion.
Double portion. Double so. Even more. That's just showing us clearly that Shabbat is the most blessed. Following? Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
But then what is,
1 second, hand up a bit.
Was it a malacha to collect
mom? You weren't allowed to go collect it. That's correct. They were, some did, by the way. The first time they did,
right.
They were not allowed to collect it. They had to collect double portion.
It's
considered malacha. Hotsa, carry, probably, yeah. But they were told not to. It was an isra at that time not to go and collect the man of Shabbat. That is correct. They're not permitted to do it, yeah. They did know about Shabbat. They were told. They were not allowed to go and collect it on Shabbat. That particular thought.
It didn't fall
on Shabbat.
So what could they collect?
They made it. Oh, they may have not have gone and collected it on Friday and gone try to go out and collect it on Shabbat, go looking for it. Yeah.
So the blessing on the man is, we saw that, but it's
yes.
Manifesting to something else, right?
Right. So that's an example of it. This blessing is constant. We just see a very clear example of the man that fell every single day through the power of Shabbat. That's what Rashi is. Rashi's tying in Shabbat into the man. Or if you will, we're tying the man into Shabbat. We're plugging it into the posuk, that goes all the way back to creation.
So Shabbat is a blessing in the
man. Is the source of all blessing. An example of it is the man.
So,
a very good, clear example of it. It's going both ways. You're not confused. It's going both ways. Shabbat is source of all blessing. I see with the man. The man is clear as blessing. We plug the man into Shabbat. So much of the two go together. Man and Shabbat go hand in hand. So much that we even have a remembrance of the man on the Shabbos table as a Lechem Mishnah. You want to see the power of Shabbat, the blessing of it? Look at the man. And of the man, you got a Lechem Mishnah. So one is proof of the other. It just goes both ways. Yeah. I'm not making it too complicated. We're saying, right, there was no man back there. He's saying to you, we can see a clear example of it, every generation, right there. Just an example, a very, very good one. When the Jewish people became a nation, they saw the blessing power of Shabbat through the man. That's how it was revealed to them. How much so? It came as a double portion in honor of Shabbat.
It was never
didn't exist. Didn't exist. And later on it did, we got to see it. Matzah didn't exist. I mean, maybe people ate it, but we saw it clearly, its connection to Mitzrayim. You see it in Mitzrayim when it came to Pesach. Before then, they didn't.
So why aren't people learning some other matzah? So why do we learn it that way?
What way?
Because
we do eat it because we left Egypt. It's freedom food. It represents the freedom food. But it represents the time as well, which existed before Pesach. I don't want to go too much into that. It's a little complicated, but it's similar to that. Okay. Let's move on. So the Chofetz Chaim's son, a story about the Chofetz Chaim. And here he gives a very clear example of it. And I'm going to do the story outside, so you can look at me. And I always mess up the story, so just bear with me over here. But it's a very clear example. And it goes like this. It's available in the Hebrew over here. He says, let me show you the blessing power of Shabbat. My father, he says, about the Chofetz Chaim, he's got to Moscow to raise money for his yeshiva. Okay? And he says that once he was by Moskva, right? Something to do with the yeshiva. And he went to see a very rich guy who had a factory. Not a lucky, but Ashirim, Shomrei Torah, a firm guy. Mosifim Kodesh Alachol. What he was doing was he was keeping his factory open a little bit into Shabbat, maybe even after Shkia or something. And once we have Shkia, we say Shabbat is in. So it was, and he would also, as a shout, V'kumo came by Moshe Shabbat, and on Moshe Shabbat, Matchilim be'esek, he would start his business, Ba'od lo pana Shabbat legamri, Shabbat had not totally gone out, and he would start a business again. So it was a firm guy in Moscow, who was very rich, who had a factory, and this guy would turn off the machines just a little bit into Shabbat, and he would start them up when Shabbat had not totally gone out. Right, Zmans are a little bit grey. Okay, Shkia onwards, you know, and after Tzet, or right before Tzet, Kochavim maybe, but afterwards, you know, 42 minutes, 50, 60, whatever it was. Okay? So the Chofetz Chaim said, I want to give you, turn over your page, I want to give you an example of what you're doing over here. And this is the example he gave him, which is very telling. And he says, Kara, it happened once, Shenochfri, that a non-Jewish guy, Kafri Harbe Sakim, he brought many sacks, shel tavua of wheat. Okay. Lebet Mescha, to a factory, shel Yisrael of a Jew. So this non-Jewish guy brings loads of sacks of wheat to sell to a Jewish guy. Okay, scenario, non-Jewish guy, sacks of wheat, Jewish guy. Veshak lukolot hatavua b'chol asakim. And they wanted to weigh all of the wheat in the sacks, because that's what he's going to charge the Jew for the sacks. The alkol mishkal, and on every single weight that he weighed out for this Jewish guy, Rasham Hanochri, the non-Jewish guy, drew ala kotel on the wall, benatar kav lekol pud, on every pud, which is he says, mita mishkal, a certain weight, he drew a line. So you have this non-Jewish guy, and he's sending this Jewish guy. He's like, okay, fine, we're going to weigh out how much wheat I'm going to sell you. And for each pud, he drew a line on the wall. Like that. You see? With a piece of chalk. And then next pod, another line. And next line, another line. Next line, another line. Next line, another line. Like that, right? That's how you should do it. So at the end, they'd end up with many, many lines. Okay? And then what would happen? What would happen? They would count how many lines there were. And then the Jewish guy would pay him according to how many lines. Because how many lines would mean how much wheat he took and how much he owed him. Are you following so far? Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is a story within a story. Said the Chofetz Chaim to this dude, what happened was that the non-Jewish guy got a little nervous. He was scared while he was schlepping backwards and forwards, the Jewish guy would do the following. Oh, four. Right? He got a bit nervous. Why would that be a problem for the non-Jewish guy? Because by the end, instead of owing him 5, or 50, or 500, or 5,000, he would be less. So he said, you know what? This system's not going to work. Let's do a different system. Let's do a different system. Following? Ulfi misbar kavim yada kama put haya. Pam yitiyashev anokhi she'enu betuch b'zeh. He was nervous about this. Ba'amru ulai yimachek ha'ivri. The Jewish guy will wipe off a line. Eza kavim hakir. He'll take off certain lines off the wall. And he'll end up paying me less. Are you ever following? Say yes, Rabbi Hadjiev. Al Kain Amar Lahakona. So he said to the buyer, who is the Jewish dude, Ha'ivri, Mutav Shinasa Simnach. Let's do a different siman. Let's do something else. Al Kol Pudapud, Tenli Matbeya. Instead of drawing lines on the wall, for every pud I give you, you give me a small coin. A small coin. And I'll put it in my pocket. Okay? Small coin, less worth. Worth less than the actual amount for the pod. But this way, it's protected in my pocket. Okay? So what's he got now? Instead of lines on a wall, he's got coins in his. Okay. So by the end, what was the plan? He would go into his pocket, take out of the coin, down with a big pile, count how many coins there were, and let's say there were 200 coins, he would owe him 200, I don't know, rubles, whatever the price was, which is a lot more. Okay? That's the system they set up. Are you following? Fantastic. What's the problem now? Can anyone guess? He's not going to show him less coins, because less coins would mean less money. The Jewish guy is giving him a small coin. Okay? Instead of using lines of wall, they're using money. Small money, you know, they're using a dollar coin rather than the $50 that it's worth. This way it's kept in his pocket. What's the problem?
He's going to get less.
No, each coin will represent a higher amount.
No, but overall he's going to get paid less.
Who is?
The non-Jew.
Why?
Because the coins are worth less.
No, that's not his pay, that's just the system.
Oh.
He's not being paid those coins. Instead of lines of wall, it's just using a coin. All right, and in the end, he's just going to transfer for every coin I'll give you back. You give me a ruble, which is more. Get it?
Yeah.
Well, it's worth more. So it's just a system. What's going to happen? Yes. Yeah. No, be exactly the same. Exactly the same. Every coin I get is worth. You're going to pay me a lot more money. No, okay, he's a cheat. Let's assume he's not a... Well, here's the problem. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what happened was the following. The guy's walking around with all these coins in his pocket. And he's like, this is money. Right? What does he do? Goes into his pocket, takes a few out, and he puts them in his inside pocket and steals the coins. Is that a smart thing to do? Or is that a totally ridiculous thing to do? Absolutely ridiculous. Why is that so ridiculous? Because if he produces less coins at the end, what is he doing? He's getting less money. I mean, he is stealing a coin, so he's actually getting a little bit of money, but each one of those coins is worth way, way more. That's insanity, right? He's actually stealing from himself. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's exactly what you are doing when it comes to running your business on Shabbat. you're taking an extra coin by having a business open after Shabbat begins, and take an extra coin for opening a business afterwards. It's true, you're making money. But do you know how much more you can make? Because the power of Shabbat is the Mekor HaBracha. You're trading in small little matbeah, little coins, for potentially a lot more money. How can he say that? It's the Mekor HaBracha. Look inside. That was the idea to the system they set up. He felt inside his pocket. Many coins. He couldn't resist. He couldn't resist. He stole various coins and he hid them. And at the end, Bikesh Hakone, the buyer, asked HaIvri, et HaNachri, said, take out the coins. What did he bring out? Fewer coins than he gave him. So now the Jewish dude was paying less. Hanimshal, that was the mashal. Says the Chof Sain, this is the nimshal. Second paragraph. Kiba chatfo eze shal min shal. When you steal certain minutes from Shabbat, hu kenachri, you're like this non-Jewish guy, gasasei chalalaz, sheganav mishal atzmo, who stole from himself. Basheb Torah Nama, we know, says the Chofetz Chaim, the Torah says, Uberachticha bochalashet haseh, you'll be blessed from all that you do. Harish Esrichem Anu Leverachato Shalakash Baruch Hu, we need the blessings of Hashem. Esrichem Anu Leverachato Shalakash Baruch Hu, Kenema Torah, Sheshet Yamim, 6 days, Taseh Melachta, do your work, V'yom Hashvi, Shabbat Hashem Rekech, Otaseh Malacha, don't do Malacha. Hashem tells us what to do. Umavor B'divrei Rabbeinu, Shayom Shabbat Hu, Mashpia Bracha Kol Maaseh B'chol Yom. We, as we know, that from the time of creation, that was the pasuk we saw before with the Rashi, Hashem created all bracha for all eternity from Shabbat. When you steal a moment from Shabbat, you're making money? Yeah, I get paid. That's an extra hour of work, extra hour of factory, extra bit of business. You are removing success of Hashem Yitbarach from the days of the week. That's what you're stealing. You're stealing from yourself. Because you would have got a lot more hatzlacha from the rest of your week. Now you're getting less. That's the amazing Chofetz Chaim on that piece. What are we saying? Look at page 35. There is a bracha of Ashirut. The Gemara in Shabbat says something unbelievable. As we say in Israel, unbelievable. HaGemara Masech Shabbat Shoelet. The Gemara has a question. Bischut ma zochim hashirim she'enem garim ba'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Oba Vavel. That's a very strange question. In what merit do Jews that don't live in Israel have that they're so wealthy? Strange question. And what does that question even mean? What does it even mean? In what merit do Jews as of Israel have money? What's the implication of the question, by the way? Why? Because we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's galut. We're in exile. I'm just reading what I said. That's the implication of the question.
But they're rich men that they can keep Shabbat.
One second. So you've got a question on the answer. One second. Where that's coming from, we have to see. Ella b'sharetzot l'osher gadol. We see all these Jews who live in France, who live in Russia, who live in America, who live in Paris, and all these wonderful cities are very, very wealthy. Umetasa Gemara. The Gemara gives an answer. Bishvil shemachabdim et haShabbat. They give honor. They give kavod to Shabbat. Just for interest, what does the word kavod mean? Respecting, give honor. But it sounds like another word with the same letters, which is kaved. What's kaved?
Heavy.
Right? They treat it with importance, with heaviness. It's not a light thing in their eyes. They treat Shabbat with an importance, with a heaviness. It's an important thing. That's the question of the Gemara. That's the answer. Madri says, hey, there's a question on that one. We say maybe we don't keep Shabbat. We have, how do we answer that? That's a good question. He's saying, no, he's saying the exact opposite. He's saying we know why the Jews in Eretz Yisrael have success. The Gemara is asking, well, how do we know the Jews outside? What brings that success? And the Gemara answers, because they have Shabbat. That's the answer. You have to understand the answer, but that's the answer. And the answer leads to many, many more questions. Okay. Yeah?
So I have an answer.
Okay. Hit me with it. I don't think so. I mean, I hear you, and it's nice, and there is an Olam Haba aspect of Shabbat for sure, as we've discussed, and we'll discuss more. Here he means cash, money, dough, the readies, the G's, you know what I'm saying? It's that cash, cash, cash. It means actual physical wealth, yeah.
I have a problem with that answer, because when you answer something, you're answering to a problem, and that's not answering to a problem, but to the question, because...
Welcome to Jewish scholarship. You're like, that's an answer. What do you think we do in the yeshiva all day? You sit, you have an answer, you have a question. That's not the answer to that question. You're like, it is the answer. Explain the answer. Right, it's not 2 and 2 equals 4. You're absolutely right. But that is the answer. We have to understand what the answer means. You could disagree with the answer.
Where do we get that answer?
Ah, very, very good. So it's based upon other Jewish thought that says that Mekor HaBracha is Shabbat. Right? So much so that physical wealth around the world comes from the honor of Shabbat. The question which Marjorie is having, which the rest of us should be having as well, was people who don't keep Shabbat, who have wealth as well. So how do we answer that? And we have people who may seemingly not have wealth as well. Okay, it's also possibly. Or maybe they do. Maybe without it, they'd have even less. Who knows? He's saying the source of bracha comes from Shabbat. It could be that not many people, maybe a few people are keeping it, bring success to the rest of the Jewish world. Maybe they're taking the money from the schot of other people keeping Shabbat. Maybe the fact that those 10% or 15% who actually keep Shabbat, maybe the source of them brings bracha to the rest of the world. Maybe we saw that one person breaks Shabbat and it affects the rest of the people as well. In other words, we're looking as individuals, but maybe as a nation. Maybe it's not subjective, it's objective. Objectively, we see the Jewish people. There are those, and through their merit, the rest of us. There's not a strange idea. We know various individuals can do certain things and affect the rest of us. We know that we had water in the desert because of Miriam. But we all had to drink water. It was in her schut. She died, there was no water. Moshe Rabbeinu has to hit a rock. So we know the idea that one person could. I'm trying to give an answer to your answer. I'm not saying the answer is better than the question. The question may be better than the answer. That's also okay. But maybe it could be that those few people, maybe we want to increase our success, we should spread Shabbat. Could be. You hear me, Minky? You're hearing me.
Then you have all these, like, let's say in Brazil, you have all the very, very rich Jewish people.
A lot of them in Brazil. Oh, and a lot of rich Jews over there, yeah.
And they don't even know what's going on. And then you have, like, the religious community, keep Shabbat and all, and they need to go to, like...
The rich people to get money from them. Maybe that's what the Gemara asks. Why does Hashem create poor people? So the rich people can give money to the poor people.
But if the poor Jewish people are keeping Shabbat, their merits are going to the Jewish people that don't even know.
Could be. And give them an opportunity to give their money away. Could be. But then again, the Chofetz Chaim said very clearly, even as individuals, you can see it. You can see the bracha of people who keep Shabbat as well. Ra'u ki Hashem notar lecha yotah Shabbat. You can see it. I'm just telling you what it says. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm showing you the sources inside.
So then these people are making it even worse, because if I'm keeping Shabbat, giving merit to other people and giving them the opportunity to use their money to help others, and they're not doing it,
their
parents are going to...
Oh, I know, I know. It's a big problem. Now you're saying even better. We better spread the word. Better spread the word quickly. Kach ishmi achav ischayim ha-shabbat nikrat kala. The Shabbat is called a kala, right? Where do we say that? Where do we see that? L'chadodi, right? Nikrat Kala, it's called a Kala. There's a number of things it's called. It's also called Oneg. Right? Shabbat is called Oneg as well. We'll come to that word later on. Okay? He says, what is the idea of a bride? Why do we refer to it as a bride? And listen to this beautiful thing he says. L'kasha Chatan, that's Am Yisrael, the Jewish people of the Chatan, mitnahek klapi Kala, that's the Shabbat, with a Ahava, with love. Right? So we, the Jewish people of the Chatan, Shabbat is the Kala. So we're going to marry. We're going to marry Shabbat, right? We're going to greet the Kala. We go out to greet the Kala. We're going to greet Shabbat, the bride, right? Bekavod and Mesiros, with, you know, in honor and greatness. Muftach lo, you get a guarantee. Shekabel mehaav haashir. You marry a girl who's got a rich abba. What are you going to get? Big fat dowry. Right. Who's the father of Shabbat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Nudunya Haguna, a nice dowry, Besurv Matanot Not Vayikrot, and many, many other great gifts. So he says, with Jewish people, we're marrying Shabbat. You want to honor Shabbat, you want to marry her? Hashem is Shabbat's father, if you will, of the Kala. I got a nice big dowry for you. That's the idea. That's the metaphor of the bride, he says. We marry, we put ourselves together. There's more to it, and we'll see more, actually. We are the match. Every other day of the week has a partner except Shabbat. We are the partner together with Hashem. Hashem's a father. He's going to pay you. I'm marrying Shabbat. I need money. Right? I got to pay for the food. I got to pay for education. Right? I need to use that money during the week to buy a house. No problem. It's all there, says Hashem. I'll give it to you. And that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yaakov Emden. His beer, kolam ha'aneg, lomu rak ha'aneg, kikvratan, call me a filo ani of Yisrael. Afo pishen b'yadol ha'bot bo'aneg Shabbat. Even if a person has so much to spend on Shabbat, zochal ha'chala b'yimitzarim, will get blessed over here. Klamas, sofish kam ha'mitzvah ma'osha b'en moneah. Right now they may be poor, but eventually they may be successful through it. Okay, that's why the Gemara says, in Shabbat, kolam aneg, it's whoever brings joy and love Shabbat ma'aneg. Right, whoever gets oneg from Shabbat, not lin lo nachalabi mitzarim, is the source of bracha. You'll get a nice. I know you're not so into this, right? You're like, what are you talking about? I got my money from my parents. Right? What are you talking about? All right, don't worry. There'll be a time you have to make your own money, paying your kids' tuition to come to yeshiva. Suddenly you'll be thinking a lot more about money. Yes, right now. So like, what are you talking about? Abba gives me my little money. Right? Yes. Why would it be? Why would it be? So listen to this amazing thing. Turn page 36. So we're building up over here. What is it about Shabbat? What is it about Shabbat? Why is it that all the brachot are found on Shabbat? What is it about Shabbat? How does this work? So over here, we're going to do a little bit of Kabbalah. Okay? And I'm going to draw something on the board. And let's see how it comes up. I'll do two versions. The wheel and the box. The wheel and the box. Okay, now I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm just showing you exactly what Rabbi Yosef Gigtilia says. And he says, let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you how this works. So you can look inside, you see the words for yourself. Higdirat Shabbat kenekuda emtsad betoch ha'galgal. Shabbat is like a nekuda, a... a dot inside a wheel. Inside a wheel. B'toch Gilgal. Asher, sheshet yemot hachol makif mota. The 6 days of the week. If you want to depict Shabbat, I guess according to Kabbalah or somehow, this is the depiction. Shabbat is a center point around which you will find the days of the week. Here it is. Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay? Sorry about that, but you get the idea, okay? Are we good? So here's Shabbat, and here are my 6 days of the week, he says, okay? Sorry, I failed art. Okay, and he says, but we know, we already discussed how every day of the week gets his shefa, its abundance, his blessing from Shabbat. He says in the Reish Chachma, B'Shar Kedusha, in the chapter about holiness, how Bria Kula V'Cholim Sam Shabbat Baruch Baruch Hu, the entire creation, everything in the entire world, everything that exists, all of them fall inside Kulam Sod Hagalgal, from the foundation, or maybe saying the secret, of the circle. Vakol Barab Nekuda Achat. They all were created at one point. Right? We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world from one point. And from that point, that Nekuda, the entire world was created. Okay? The Big Bang. Came from one point. Right? Even science agrees with that right now. Vakol Barab Nekuda Achat. Shu Sod Shabbat. That is the foundation of Shabbat. He's saying that one point, the entire world was created from, that foundational point was Shabbat. V'usod mitziyot en kol ha'gol. That is actually the foundation of all of it. Second paragraph, in the bold. Uvehemtza Shabbat, Shosana called Kol Galal. Nim Shoshimea Kol Sivivatea. The 6 days of the week therefore surround Shabbat. For Shabbat Be'emsa Nikra Kodesh. This is holiness over here. Here is Kadosh. Okay? We have Kadosh over here. Holiness. En La Ben Zug. Every day of the week has a partner. Sunday has Monday. Rishon has Sheni. Shlishi has Revi. Chamishi has Shishi. Sunday goes with Monday. Tuesday goes with Wednesday. Goes with Friday. Shabbat is by itself. It's seventh. It's seven. It's out there by itself. V'hum makor kol ha-shefa. V'kol ha-tova la-gula. It is the source of it. So here it's now feeding, right? Every day of the week, which it's okay. So now we have this wheel that's happening over here, and the entire thing is going around. But as you know how a wheel works, it all goes after the hub. Actually, the wheel does not turn. What turns? The center point, which is connected via spokes, like on a bicycle, to all the different parts. And then that middle hub, like in a car, that middle hub turns, and then everything that's attached to it follows as well. You with me? The tire is not connected to the car itself. It's connected to a hub, connected to a spoke, connected to the center point, and that's the bit that's injected in. So too, he's saying, this middle part of Nikra Kodesh is called holiness, from which God has created the entire world. The entire world comes out from, and turns everything else. The En Lacha Gigal She'en Bo Sod Shabbat. Every single turning aspect in creation has Shabbat as its center. Yeah? V'sheshi me'achol, kulam chozer ba'gula b'shir mukhrach, alav en la'osif men ven legro. It follows that same pattern again and again and again. There's another version of this, which is the box. And that is, every day of the week is a separate box. Yeah? You following? So they exist, but they exist as separate realities, like chol, like sand, we said. Chol means sand, as separate little points. Okay, so you have 6 days of the week, but you don't have anything. Right? You have all the parts are there. What's Shabbat? Shabbat is the coming together of those 6 days, however you want to do it, you know? It's the box over there. It's the coming together of those six. Now we have six sides. We have top, bottom, right? And we have four around us. That's six. That's six dimensions. So what does Shabbat do? Shabbat is the seventh dimension that pulls the other six together. Shabbat is the seventh dimension that pulls all the other six together. You can have six pieces of wood, right? Do you have a box yet? No. You need to pull them together. So the seventh pulls them together. Shabbat pulls together the other days of the week into one unit. Okay? Without Shabbat, you have nothing. You've got seven separate points. Where is Shabbat? That's the center of the box. It's the inner point of the box, Chazal. Just another version, I think, of the same thing. It's the inner point that pulls it all together. You're inside. Just like the Jewish people travel through the desert in a box. What was that box made out of? Clouds. The Anane HaKavod. The clouds of glory. We had one above, one below, and four surrounding us. And the Jewish people were inside the box, protected. Right? That's the Sukkah. We have a Sukkah to represent the protection of Hashem, of those clouds. Right? We sit in a Sukkah, L'Zecher, Anane HaKavod, according to one opinion. The other opinion is that it comes to remember the actual huts that we lived in. But, Mamanashach, either way, the box itself protects us. I'm saying to you that seventh is what pulls it together. That is Shabbat. And we see that protective power in the Midbar as well when it comes to those clouds. Okay? Yes, Tiffany.
For the first one,
yeah.
Individual,
yeah. Every day, we're not saying it is different. It's sourced from it, just like the tire is different to the hub, right? But it needs the hub in order to turn. It's not the same. It's receiving its power, its shefa, its kedusha from Shabbat. He's saying, I don't know what this really means, but he's saying this nekuda is what the world is created from.
So how come it doesn't matter?
In other words, notice yourself. They actually say the entire world was created, right? And when the creation came along, it just put it together. Everything was created on the first day. Then each day it found form. The source of it all was there, and it comes together. Shabbat is the ultimate culmination, the ultimate coming together of everything else. It pulls all the pieces together into one unit. And he's saying that's the secret to all creation. It's hard for me to hear that, but that's what he's saying. I said you're going to learn about Shabbat this course, didn't I tell you that? You're going to learn about Shabbat. You're hearing about all the dynamics. That's the Kabbalah behind it. That is the Kabbalah behind it. One second. I thought I was going to finish this off today. Oh, shame. We're not going to finish off. But let's even get a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further, if you don't mind. Just give me another 5 minutes. We missed the class as well. One second. So we're going to do this malbim inside. He actually carries on. Kikifishu and Nukudam said, based upon the size of the inner wheel, kach shisha shiurim kumosos of a ba'ugala. He's saying the size of that middle section is also going to teach you, like the smaller wheel, have a smaller middle section, bigger, you know? Okay, I can't get to it right now, but he seems to say that it's all related to that. One second. The Malbim says that the world was created following a certain set pattern. Okay, I'm going to do this outside very quickly. Was created via a certain set pattern, a certain natural cycle that was set up, right? 6 year creation, sun goes up, sun goes down, right? Moon revolves, right? There's certain things that are fashioning themselves. There's another thing, however, that we the Jewish people relate to the physical world through our actions and our deeds. We daven for rain, right? So there's a natural cycle, but we get to interact through our tefillah, through our mitzvah, through reward and punishment to the physical world as well. He talks about that. So every nation and everything we do is based upon a certain thing. You put seeds in the ground, stuff comes up. But after the chait of Adam HaRishon, he's saying that was changed. Adam HaRishon's time through the sin of Eden for the Eitz HaDas, things change. It was not set up on a constant. Our actions, you have to put grain in the ground, you put in 5 seeds, you get 1 plant, right? We pray. There was a change that happened after that. He's saying that's how Adam HaRishon. So that's his punchline at the end. He's saying this. He's saying that is found through the honor of Shabbat. And he ties it in. I'm not sure, but he does it. Okay? We don't follow a natural order.
We don't follow
it? No. No, we don't. We put in 5 seeds, right? Only 1 seed comes up. You do business with companies and you only make a little bit of panasa. Right? It comes through our actions. That comes through our actions.
And
things still do follow the natural pattern, but we can affect the right amount of sun and our reward of the abundance. Okay, just jump if you don't mind. I just want to jump to page 39, so I want to finish this chapter to get a new one when we start after Sukkot. Okay, so there's a beautiful custom, speak about for 5 more minutes, that we do, which demonstrates everything we discussed with this chapter so far, Bracha Shabbat. And what is that? Okay, we're on page 39, Birchat Habanim. Yeah, we're just
going
to...
Oh, that was good.
I know. You can still read it. I just don't have time to get through in class. Okay, there's a beautiful custom to bless our children on Friday night. Okay, what is blessing? We give them... Bracha. Where does this come from? Well, we should have an idea already. Right? So let's have a look inside. So the Yavetz says like this. Follow halfway down. It's only in Hebrew, so you're going to have to follow inside. Okay. Minhagam shel Yisrael. There is a minhag among the Jewish people. Look inside their books. Levarach yeladim b'leil Shabbat. To bless our children on Friday night. All right? B'leil Shabbat. Echad avot, fathers. Ve'echad rabbanim, and rabbis. Now, rabbis I don't see too much nowadays. But the Sephardi synagogues, you see, everyone lines up. And they used to go to the Rav. My great uncle built a shul of a great rabbi who's since passed away, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. At the end of Friday night services, everyone lines up, goes to the rabbi, gives a bracha. Now they give a handshake. Or now people just ignore him and walk out. But actually what it used to be was the rabbi would give a bracha to everyone inside shul on Friday night. Okay? That was the way it used to be. Maybe it should be. He says, Achat filo b'kinisa labayit. Right? After davening, when they enter into the home. Everyone still do this in your homes? Right? Your Abba, right? And your mummy will have hands on your head and they'll say... And they'll say,
Does it matter when you...
So different customs when it's said. And no, some do it when they walk into the home. Some do it before Kiddush. Right? My home, we do it after Kiddush, after we've welcomed the Shabbat. Just any time on Friday nights, the right time. Okay? So you have to see why. Why then?
Yeah.
Okay? And what we're doing over here. Sha'az Chal, why is it? He says like this. Sha'az Chal HaShefa. Why are we doing on Friday night? Because Friday night is the time when the Shefa, the abundance of blessing... comes down. V'ra'oi lamshich v'le'odim, and it's fitting to drag that, to take that abundance of blessing and put on our kids. Okay? B'yuchat she'ein b'kocham, I'll tell you why, because kids by themselves, he says, are not able, ein b'kocham, they don't have the ability, lamshich shefa ma'aseim, to bring the blessing down with their actions. Why can't they just bless themselves? Because they're children. And they don't have any mitzvah, they're not commanded a mitzvot yet. So they don't have the power to bring down the Shefa Bracha. You hear this? Avale de gadol, but an adult. An adult does have that power. So the adult, he says, has the power to bring down the Shefa. Right? As an emsoi, Meshubachu, he's like the middleman to bring it down, or middlewoman. To bring the Shefa, the abundance of Bracha. Let's just go through this, there's a lot to do over here. Yored v'chal, it comes down and it sticks. V'nechaz, and it holds on. V'yoter b'ketanim. Now, children are more fitting for blessing. Why? Because children are like empty blessings, empty vessels. Sha'adayin lo tamo tamchei. They haven't sinned. They've got no mitzvah. They haven't sinned yet. They're still children. They haven't done real sins yet. So we as adults, have the power through our actions to bring down the shefa, but it's going to stick, and it sticks better on kids because they don't have much sin, you see. So they're more apt for receiving the bracha. V'alya dehem, omid pasha yoter. And through them, it's going to spread out and stick better. Aval, gam abanim gedolim mekablim bracha me'avateyim v'nachon hu. And he says, it's a custom, even the older kids, who are post-bar mitzvah, still will do it. We'll get blessings. It's although, according to what he just said, they don't need to because they're old enough through the mitzvah to bring enough bracha into their lives. Yep. But still, we still do it. We still give them blessings, even though they're post bar bat mitzvah. Okay? Which is the custom, he says. Okay. Ubesefer maviyavik shninu. Let's add a little bit more to this. Amru beperek gidl banim. Says in the chapter about bringing up children. Kishyasim adam yodol rosh katan mevarach. How do? We put our hand on the head of the child. Now, I've heard different customs. Some do one hand, some do two hands. Okay? Some do one and some do two hands. Okay, those who do one hand say you shouldn't do two, I think, because the Kohanim bless with two hands. But many people bless with two hands, and that's a fine way to do it. Right? That's the way Yaakov did it, remember, when he blessed his sons. We're going to tie Yaakov and his kids into this in a second. As we know, v'yishlach Yisrael etz yamino. He stretched out his hand. Okay, so we know the way to do it is to put the hand on the head. Right? So far, we just learned how we give the blessing. I say, you know what? I give you a blessing, my little son. I give you a blessing, my little daughter. That should be sufficient. Now he's saying, oh, we see from Yaakov. Now we're tying in Yaakov over here. And we're throwing Yaakov in and say, well, when Yaakov blesses, he used his hands to do it. So we can do that as well. Okay. As it says, V'yivarachem b'yom ahu le'mor. And he blessed him on that day, saying, why the how do hands get involved over here? I'll tell you why. Ki b'yad adam, because in the hand of a person, tedvav parakim there are. What's tedvav?
No, I'm scratching my finger. No. Tedvav, there are 15 joints. 15 joints. Nachon? Is that right? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, two of the thumb, right? And the wrist is 15. I think that's the calculation. So in every hand you have 15 joints. Okay. He's explained to you why we bless with a hand and not just give a blessing. So it's 15 joints. Kaminyan, which is the same number, Ted Vav Tevot, the 15 words, the Birchat Kohanim, in the blessing of the Kohanim. 15 words. So 15 words come 15 joints, which are in the hand. So we put the hand down to represent the 15 words in Birchat Kohanim. Oh, what do we bless our kids with? What words do we say? We say those 15 words, right? Lomar, Yuchul, what are we saying? Yuchul Roshcha, we're saying that on your head should be Habrachot, the blessings, Shebushlosh Pesukim Elu, on these three verses, because it's three Pesukim with 15 words, and through we give our children these 15 words of blessing from these three verses onto their heads, Shem Tetvav. That's what it says. 15 for 15. 15 for 15. Now, so that's fine. So now we figured out why bracha. Now we know why kids. Now we know why hands. Okay? What are we left with? Why on Shabbos? Right? Why bless them on a Tuesday afternoon? And why specifically on Erev Shabbat, on the night of Shabbat? He says, I'll tell you why. You see, we get an extra soul on Shabbat. Neshami Yaterah. Neshami Yaseirah. Okay? He says, you know, that extra neshama gives you extra power to give blessing. Va'od. And he says, he ain't Satan or Pegara b'Shabbat. He's saying bad things don't happen to people on Shabbat. Okay? We don't have the prosecutor in Shemayim does not go against us. Shekatrig ala bracha. He's not there to block the brachot. The brachot flow more easily on Shabbat. During the week, you could have an angel that comes and blocks the bracha. On Shabbat, the channels are open for brachot to go straight. Right? Shenidcho b'er Shabbat, l'nukvad b'nuhut haraba. Okay, they are pushed away. V'tzorach gavohu, l'varach adam b'nav b'Shabbat. Therefore, it's a very big thing. Vaz yesh lo bat, gam hi barchena, give those blessings as well. We're probably Shabbat specifically on Friday night when Shabbat comes in. So now we have the Neshama Yaseira factor as well. Noagim olam shav mafarach et haben. V'ken harav, talmid b'yom kav shav kodesh, l'fi shetziner brachot betuchim bo. Says the Zohar, the channels, the pipes of blessing from the upper world, Alpi Kabbalah, are open on Shabbat, and they flow through easier. He gives another reason. V'gam yesh bo'ot tamacher. Why? L'fi shederach av. It's the way of parents. Shekores tamid al bano. To get angry with their kids, umakalo, and to curse them during the week. Right? People, parents, shout at their kids during the week and get crazy with them. True? Does that happen at all? All the time! Crazy! Shouting at kids, telling them, get over there, I'm gonna kill you, you little, right? Oh, come Shabbat, which is shalom. What do we want to do? We want to make shalom with our kids. So we come along and we bless them to make shalom between us and our children, who we may have punched and told off and shouted at, get over here, do this, clean that. And that fixes it. And that's also the last piece over here of Rav Moshe Zalchin Shemati Tam Nachon. He says, we bless our children on Shabbat. And he says, Yontov as well. Because the parents are going to makalal the benim, they curse their kids out. Merov tzar, or machmat ezesiba shir alem, something happens, they tell them off. Lachen atab is man simcha, there we all come to a time of happiness. Mevatel motan klalot, we come and mevatel. These klalot are nullified. Haladei abrachot, v'yafoch Hashem et klalot labracha. Hashem turns these klalot, these curses into bracha. Let goremet. And that evil angel that is in your home, okay, that is there, hears the brachot, and the evil angel, we have two malachim come, good and bad, they hear the bracha, You have to say Amen as well. When you come home, there is an angel, a good angel, a bad angel, the Gemara tells us. Right? And if they see the house is set up beautifully, right, you get a blessing, and the bad angel has to agree and say Amen. But if they come back and the house is not ready for Shabbat, it's not beautiful, the evil angel, the angel Ra, gives a klala chas v'chalila, and the good angel has to say Amen to his bracha. You got to make sure your house is set up beautifully in honor of the Shabbat. There's one last piece of this I'm going to save for the next class. Remind me. I want to just mention one last thing and discuss why we bless our daughters to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and our sons to be like Menashe and Ephraim, and what all that has to do with fish. Okay, have a Tzom Kal, a meaningful fast, have a wonderful Sukkot. We'll pick this up, God willing, after the Chagim.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom.
I came a little late to learn who took attendance, but I wanted to.
Name?
Samantha Jacoby.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we haven't had to.
Wait, where are you? Are you the rush? Here for a second, please.
Oh, thank you.
No, I didn't. You're welcome. Have a great Shabbat. Take care. Thank you.